You should be open to 1 John. We're going to continue taking a look at, you know, we've been talking about love. And you can be open to chapter 1 of 1 John, or chapter 2, rather. You know, a lot of things have been happening for me here recently, not too long ago. I could sense in the realm of the Spirit, you know, that something was getting ready to happen. And I didn't know for sure what it was, but I knew that something was coming. And for a period of time, I knew that I had hit what we would maybe refer to as an impasse. And an impasse is when you get to a point in your walk with God to where there seems to be a wall that's keeping you from going any deeper. And you just can't seem to get past that. And it's interesting how that I have observed some of you reaching impasses in your life. And you have shared things with me like I don't understand, and shared all these different feelings, and I'm listening to you, and on the inside I'm saying, do you realize that this is an impasse? But I can tell that your emotions are not ready to hear such a thing. So it's better for me to keep silent and just say, oh God, reveal to them that this is just an impasse, that the world is not collapsing around their feet. And the reason that they're fighting these emotions is because they're getting ready to break through into another realm with you. And a long time ago, God really helped me to identify pretty much every time that I reach that particular point, you know, an impasse, so that I'm not caught terribly off guard and I know what's happening and I can address it from that perspective. Doesn't mean that it's not there or that it goes away, but what it means is that I've come to recognize that, and the same thing could be true for all of you. But it's been so really interesting because I knew something was happening. I knew that something really good was about to take place, but I didn't know exactly what it was. I didn't know if it represented something as far as the church is concerned, or maybe the school or whatever. I didn't know. Well, come to find out, it was me. Hallelujah. It was something really good for me. And it was kind of like, I mean, there were no visions, and angels didn't visit me, and I didn't hear the hallelujah chorus in the background or anything like that. It was just one day, all of a sudden, I realized, hey, it's over. The impasse is over, and I see what's happening here. And it was really interesting because I couldn't even go back and pinpoint a particular day or time when I was in prayer and I felt that breakthrough and things lift and all of that. I couldn't do that. I just, one day, I'm just like in the middle of the day. Suddenly I just realized, hey, okay, it's changed. Yeah, I'm past that thing. And it was kind of like that he had taken me, like I was in one room, and it was like he took me and led me up some steps to another room. And once in that room, it was almost like he said, now look around and see all of this, because this is where you're headed next, or this is what's here for you at this point in time. And in a manner of speaking, and it's so hard to try and explain some of these things with just words, but in a manner of speaking, it was almost like once he got me into that room, he poured the understanding of everything in that room into me, just like that. Now I have the responsibility of praying out that understanding, so that it's beyond just a spiritual knowing or a spiritual understanding, but it becomes a walk, or it becomes a manifestation in my life. And it's really interesting, and I don't know, really, I guess the best way I could put it is that this room, on the door of this room, there's a sign that just says love. It just says love. And through these messages, this is what I'm trying to share with you, some of what that he's gotten across to me, some of these things about love. You know, so many of the times when we hear messages about love, they can be some very boring sermons. And if you announce that you're going to preach about love, well, you know, that's a good time to take the kids and go on down to Kings Island, or let's go off and take that weekend trip we've been planning. I mean, love. Everybody knows love. You're supposed to be, you know, nice to your neighbors, and you're not supposed to say things mean to each other. You're supposed to help little old ladies across the street and stop kicking the dogs, or maybe help little dogs across the street and stop kicking the little old ladies. One of the two. But everybody knows about love. Well, in reality, the body of Christ really doesn't know. Because when the Bible tells us that God is love, that means that if we really understand what love is all about, we are walking in a deeper level of God. Well, because we have equated God's love to us and God's love, period, because we've sort of like equated this with just feel-good emotions and being nice to people and giving money on Labor Day to Jerry Lewis to help out with all of this stuff. We've taken 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and we've relegated it to our weddings. And because we really don't understand what a wedding is all about, and we really don't understand what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is all about, we haven't a clue what's happening at the weddings. And we take 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and really turn it into a system of deeds that we do to earn spiritual merit badges from the great scoutmaster in the sky. Because we don't understand what Paul's trying to say in 1 Corinthians 13. We get into full gospel, folks, now. We get into chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and we read about all these gifts of the Spirit. We get into chapter 14 and we read about all the explanations and the teachings that he gives concerning tongues and so forth. And then interestingly, sandwiched right in the middle between that teaching about spiritual gifts and that teaching about the gift of tongues, there is this slice of baloney called chapter 13 that talks about love. And we don't understand why Paul got distracted. How in the world he's doing so good in chapter 12 and doing so good in chapter 14, why would he throw this little bit about weddings right there in the middle of all of this? What got him so messed up? He wasn't messed up. Because chapter 13 continues the flow of chapter 12 and leads into chapter 14. But because we don't understand love, we don't make the connection between chapter 13, chapter 12, and chapter 14. And we really don't understand what Paul's talking about. Well, eventually we're going to touch on that in this, and I don't know if it'll be today or next time or whatever. But when it comes, you know, we talk about praying in tongues, and we teach so much of that, and we should. And we should pray in tongues. We talk about meditation in the Word, and we should do that. We should be meditating in the Word. And we talk about worship, and we talk about fasting. We talk about all of these things. But what we sometimes miss is that the ultimate goal of all of this is for us to end up conforming to the image of Christ. But if we don't understand the image of Christ, we don't understand the ultimate goal. The image of Christ is love. The ultimate goal of all that we are doing as far as spiritual maturity is concerned, it's not just opening blind eyes and deaf ears and things like that. The ultimate goal is a love walk. That's where God's taking us. And a love walk is not just, I like you, and oh, you're just wonderful, and boy, I love you too, and you know, you're just the greatest thing since sliced bread. I can do all of those things. I can be as nice to you as, I mean, I can be so nice to you it'll make you sick to your stomach. I can be so sweet to you and say such nice things to you. I can buy you presents. I can take you out and I can do this and I can do that. But you better not sit near me at the restaurant because there's a good chance you might just hear what I really think about you. Anybody can do good things to anybody. But your heart is what matters to God. Now, yes, we know that we're supposed to demonstrate works of love. We understand that. But God's looking beyond the works of love. He's looking at our heart to find out how we're walking in love. And it's, and again, this is a concept God has just, so clearly shown me that most all Christians really do not know what God's love is all about. And even now, what he's done for me, it's like he has poured all this revelation on the inside of me, but yet, you know what it's like to, you know what a zipped file is on a computer? Well, very simply put, if you download something off the internet and it's zipped, let's just call it super compressed. Have you ever taken a sponge that's real little and you put it in water and it absorbs the water and grows out? Okay, that little bitty sponge is a zipped file. When you put it in the water and it absorbs the water and grows and becomes really big, that is an unzipped file. Well, there is a zipped file of God's love on the inside of me that is becoming unzipped as far as the understanding of this, and not just the understanding of it, but the ability to convey this. It's like it's on the inside of me, but yet putting it on the outside, giving it in words, it's difficult. Because the concept and the understanding and the reality of God's love is not what we're seeing in the body of Christ. Jesus said, when he was talking, he said, I came, in essence, he said, I came to show you, to reveal to you the Father. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the Bible says that God is love. Therefore, we know that Jesus lived the perfect love walk. Well, that love, it's been put into us when we get born again. But it doesn't mean we're living it. And oftentimes, what we try to do is create an emotional state of existence for ourselves that we call love. And we try to define it by our actions. But God defines love by our heart. The actions essentially are a byproduct of what's happening on the inside. Now, here in 1 John, look at chapter 2. We're going to lay a foundation for what we're going to take a look at here in just a moment. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 5 it says, now this is just a little bit of review to set the stage. In verse 5 it says, but whoso keepeth his word, talking about God's word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby know we that we are in him. Now keeping your finger here, turn back to Galatians chapter 5 very briefly. And we'll look at something here. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All the law is fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you look back over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, it says, but whoso keepeth his word, In him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Well, if all the law is fulfilled in one word, which is love thy neighbor as thyself, let's insert that in this and read it this way. But whoso loveth his neighbor as himself, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now let's look at a very, very similar verse in chapter 4 of 1 John, verse 12. In verse 12, we see these words. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Well, in chapter 2, verse 5, but whoso loveth his neighbor as himself, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Chapter 4, verse 12. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So you can see the similarities in this. It's not word for word, but it's extremely close. Well, what these verses are not telling us is if I make a conscious decision of my will, yes, I'm going to love you. The result of me making that decision causes God's love to be perfected or matured in me, enabling me to have a deeper walk in my relationship with him. That's not what these verses are telling us. What these verses are telling us is, if we're doing what's necessary to see God's love perfected or matured on the inside of us, the byproduct of that is going to be that I will love my neighbor and I'm going to love you. I can say it, but what's happening on the inside is what makes all the difference in the world, see? And so the byproduct of God's love being matured in me is that that love is going to be demonstrated outside of me on a continual basis. Not just when my emotions feel like it. Not just because you've been really good to me or you've been really nice to me or you haven't spoken bad things about me. But that love is going to produce love out of me toward every single person I come in contact with. And it doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, or what they've said to me. Now, we can talk about, yeah, but Brother Martin, you just don't understand. You know, my mama did this, and my daddy did that, and my uncle, and my grandpa, and the pastor, and the preacher, and the neighbors, and you don't understand how they treated me. I mean, I pastored this church over here, and what that congregation did to me, and you don't know this, and you don't understand. You're right. I don't understand. What I don't understand is why, when God is revealing these things to us in His Word, you consistently make a choice to stand in total opposition to His love. You say, well, I'm not doing that. Well, let's take a look and find out. If ever there was a book that taught us about God's love, it's 1 John. And what I'm going to show you, I've gone through and I've taken verses and passages that are specifically mentioning His love. Now, when we read this, I'm asking you to please pay very, very close attention to what you're reading. Don't let your mind drift and don't think, well, you know, I've read that before, or okay, yeah, those are very kind words. We need to understand that when John is writing about this, he is giving to us a key as to what it's going to take to be totally successful in God, to totally fulfill what God has called us to do. I will tell you this now. If you are holding on to unforgiveness toward anybody, you are never, ever in your life going to fulfill the calling God has on you. And it doesn't matter what you see on the outside or how much you think you're fulfilling that call, you will never totally fulfill that call. It is impossible to fulfill the calling of God if you're not operating by the love of God. It won't happen. Now, as we go through this, don't just take these words very lightly. I want you to read very closely what John is saying here. It's not all candy-coated. It's not all lovey-dovey and, you know, everybody get together and sing kumbaya around the campfire and things like that. John is trying to get across to the body of Christ, because 1 John was written to Christians. He's trying to get across to the body of Christ the seriousness of how we handle God's love. Now, he says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, as we go through this, John is going to define, later on for us, he's going to define what these commandments are. So it'll be very clear. But now, let's read this again before we go on. And let the impact of this sink deeply inside you. He says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that he heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Now let me pause here for a moment. This is very interesting what he's saying. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well? "They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." All right, now he's saying, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In other words, he's saying it's not just a matter of your actions, it's a matter of what's coming out of your spirit, what's coming out of your heart. This is what determines whether or not you really have love. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment." Here, This passage right here is an explanation as to why a lot of people are not getting prayers answered. It's because they aren't walking in God's love. And you can confess the Word of God all you want, but the goal, the primary goal, is for us to walk in love. The primary goal is for God's love to be matured in us. We talk about anointing, we talk about glory, we talk about power, we talk about all of these things, but those things are not nearly as important as us walking in love. And here he's explaining why it is that a lot of Christians don't get prayers answered. It's because we want our prayers answered, we want our blessings, we want our anointing, we want our power, we want our churches full, but we want to hold on to unforgiveness to the point of possibly even hating, having that kind of an attitude towards somebody who is our brother or sister in the Lord. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God knoweth not God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, it's interesting how that as John goes through and he's talking about the love of God and getting emphasizing this to us, he finishes this off. Now, this is at the end of 1 John chapter 5. You can go and read the rest of it later on. But as far as the specific mentions of love, this is the last time that love is mentioned like this. And in this, he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, when John first starts talking about this love, look what he says. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Do you see there's a flow in this, what he's trying to get across? Now, in this, for most people in the body of Christ, what we've just read is just a bunch of words. Nice words, kind words, yeah, okay, be good to each other. John's trying to get across something. Number one, he walked with Jesus Christ. Literally, physically walked with Jesus Christ, and he saw this manifested. The moment that John was born again and God began to move in John, from that perspective, John began to experience the development on the inside of him of the same love that he saw demonstrated through Jesus. John got to the point to where between John and Paul, based on the writings now, based on what we see in Scripture, Based on what we read in here, John and Paul wrote more about God's love than anybody else in the entire Bible. They had a concept of it. They had an understanding of it. Now, look over in John chapter 4. In verse 7, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God." In essence, he's saying, look, we're a part of the body of Christ, and we have a responsibility to do whatever it is that's necessary so that God's love pours through us toward each other. "And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Not everybody that's nice to each other. Everybody that's doing the first part of verse 7 is going to end up experiencing the second part of verse 7. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that is not bearing the second half of verse 7 can't stand up and talk about he and God are best buddies, because you really don't know God. Because to know God is to know love." He says in verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." He says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." In other words, herein is love. Let me explain to you this process. He didn't love us because we loved him, because we didn't have the capacity to love him. We did not have a nature on the inside that was capable of extending to him the kind of love that he can extend to us. And the only reason that we are able to love him is because he first loved us. And that love was demonstrated to us through sending his son Jesus Christ. "Beloved," verse 11, "if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Or if we are loving one another, we're doing that first part of verse 7. God's love is being matured on the inside of us, and the maturing and perfecting of that love in us is being demonstrated outwardly as his love flows through us to the people around us. "Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." That should not be a capital S. He's not saying he hath given us of his Holy Ghost. He has given us of his nature. That's why we have the capacity to love. Later on, down here in the 17th verse where he says, or in the 16th verse, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." As he is, so are we in this world. How is that possible? Because he has given us of his Spirit. He has given us of his nature. And because he's given us of his nature, and because he is love, therefore he has deposited on the inside of us the very nature of love itself. This is why we have the capacity to go beyond hurts, to go beyond offenses, to go beyond anything anybody has ever done to us, and walk in the fullness of God's love, that love being demonstrated one to another. And that is the time we have the ability to say, "I do know God, because his love has been perfected and matured inside me." But we think in the body of Christ, as long as I'm not being mean to somebody, I qualify for walking in love. It doesn't work that way. When we talk about, let me put it like this. The gifts of the Spirit manifesting, that is secondary to God's love. This is why chapter 13 is in between chapter 12 and 14 in 1 Corinthians. For us, this kind of goes back to what I said before, something I mentioned earlier, not today, but in another message. This is an act of faith. It really is. It's an act of faith. Because As much as God's love is even demonstrated here in this place, there is a dimension of His love that we have not entered into as a congregation. And we can talk about spiritual maturity all we want, but the ultimate level of spiritual maturity is a love walk. God's love. That's what spiritual maturity is all about. We can go through the mechanics of reading the Bible. We can go through, we can spend time praying in tongues and all those things we should do. But what's going to happen is that as we get closer in our own lives, individually, as we get closer and closer, going from glory to glory, I can promise you, God's going to deal with every one of us at the level of our love walk. And He will work to expose to us what needs to be changed as far as that. See, a lot of folks struggle. You know, well, I just want to quit committing this particular type of sin, or I just want to change this thing about me. When you're walking in a deeper love walk with God, things change automatically. That's because God is love. And the more love you walk in, the more you're conforming to the image of that love. And the more you conform to the image of that love, all the things that don't line up with that love just fade away. When you are walking, living in that kind of love, no matter what is said to you or about you by the people in the church, you're not going to get offended. You won't get hurt. And I guess maybe one way to gauge the level of our love walk is to gauge how upset we get when people do things to us, especially in the church we attend, or our family members, or the people on the job. If anybody had a right to speak mean and ugly about someone, don't you think it would have been Paul? I can't read in Scripture anywhere that he was in prison for a crime. But they chained him up, locked him up, they beat him, they whipped him. I'm not talking about the Jews that tried to gang up on him. I'm talking about in the legal system they did this to him. What do you read in here? The guy leads him to Jesus. Love. He was walking in love. That's why he walked in the kind of calling that he had. I'm not convinced that Paul was the only one that God would ever have used in such mighty ways. I personally believe that God will use anybody, but He can only use you to a certain point if you don't go beyond where you currently are as far as your love walk with Him. You know, Jesus dealt with this a lot. When you go back and you read the four Gospels and read what Jesus said, oftentimes you'll find out how that He was actually prophesying about the body of Christ. He was explaining things to them that couldn't apply to them because they still had a sin nature. And you know, Peter walks on water. There's no problem. He said, "If that's you, Lord, bid me come." Jesus said, "Come." He steps out of the boat. He walks on water. Peter went out and did things with Jesus. But you know where he had the biggest problem? Increase our faith, Lord. What was the Lord talking about? Forgiveness. In that entire story, the one thing that Peter cried out and said, increase our faith. In other words, I can walk on water, but you wanted me to forgive somebody 70 times 7. Excuse me, Jesus. Especially when the guy's ripped me off financially. Hasn't paid me back the money that he owes me. Go back and read the whole story, the whole thing that Jesus was talking about in all his verses and his chapters. Read that and lead right up to where Peter said, increase our faith. Jesus had been teaching about forgiveness. He was talking about taking offense. And he led up to that with a story about somebody who had been done wrong. They got ripped off. It had to deal with finances. Peter was okay with everything else till they start talking about love. Well, at that time he wasn't born again and he really couldn't do what Jesus was teaching. But things changed after he got born again. I'm telling you now, it's not wrong to focus on anointing, glory, power, blessings, prosperity. Those things aren't wrong. But the primary focus, our primary focus, must be the primary goal that God has for us. And that is to conform and mature in His love. Conform to and mature in the fullness of His love. That's what God wants in us. Because God is love. God is love. When we... You know, the Lord kind of shared with me. He said, you know, don't focus so much on greater anointing, greater power, greater glory. Don't focus so much on signs and wonders and miracles. He didn't tell me those things were unimportant. It was just, don't focus so much on that. He said, if you set your face toward the goal of love, you will see all of these other things happening in your life. It's going to happen. In most churches, quite honestly, Christians aren't taught this kind of love. We are taught our denomination. We are taught our church standards. We are taught our traditions. We are taught our whatever. But we're not taught this kind of love. Love is mentioned and love is taught, but it's a surface love. It's almost nothing more than a human love. What, you know, do your best to love your neighbor. God says, well, that's great. Anybody can be nice to their neighbor. Anybody can do that. I mean, you could live next door to the Hell's Angels and they could come over and cut your grass and be nice to you. But the deeper we go into God's love, that's where you're going to find Him. Because you can't separate the two. The deeper you go into His love, that's where you're going to find more power than you've ever known. The deeper you go into His love, that's where you're going to see things happening in your life that you've only read about in the history books of the sages years gone by. I wish there was a way that I could maybe like open your lids and download this in. Because what I'm sharing with you, I'm telling you, this is the key for your calling and your ministry. This is the key for your success. This is the key to go beyond worry about anything, to go beyond concerns. Not that you're unconcerned about things. I'm talking about the worry, fearful kind of concerns. Well, what about this and what about that? You go beyond that. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. No fear in love. If you're concerned and worried and fretful about how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this? When's this going to happen? What about this? That you are not walking in the depth of God's love. You're not. It's impossible. It's impossible to reconcile the two. You can't do it. See? Totally impossible. If people have done something wrong to you, like, you know, what Peter was talking about, the parable and the things that Jesus was talking about, somebody owe you money, let me just share something with you. As a Christian, you have no right to loan money to anyone. You have no right to make a loan. A loan establishes a law of payback. Meaning, I have loaned to you, you now owe me. And until the debt is paid, there is an issue between us. When you give money to somebody, you're supposed to give with no strings attached. If you are not prepared to never see that money again in your life, don't give it. Just don't give it. I don't care if it's a dollar. Don't give it. Just tell them you can't. Just tell them I can't right now. They put you on a guilt trip. Well, where's your faith? Faith. Well, bless God, where's your faith? You're coming to me. Don't give me this faith stuff. Don't give it. If you cannot give your lawnmower, if you can't give your snowblower, if you can't give your washing machine, if you can't give your car, if you can't give money, if you can't do that, if you can't put money in somebody else's hands and then wave goodbye to it as it drives down the road, if you're not in a position to do that, don't turn it loose. Because the moment that you loan, you're creating problems. And if you tell somebody, I will pay you back, and you don't, you're the one that has created the problem. And until you resolve that issue, it's going to hang over your head for the rest of your life. And you better deal with it, because not dealing with it, you've come to the line and you're going no further in God. You're not going any further in your calling. You're not going any further in your love, because you have built a wall against the power of His love, because you said you were going to do something and you didn't do it. You have created an issue. Now your responsibility is to go back to that person and resolve that issue. And if you're the person they come back to, you better pray about how you handle it. The way it's supposed to be resolved is, I release it. These are touchy issues in the body of Christ. You know why? That's because the body of Christ doesn't know what God's love is all about. It's because we don't understand how that love truly operates, because we're not operating in that kind of love. When we get to this point of knowing what this love is, Bible talks about that we would have, you know, like John wrote, you know, confidence in the day of judgment and so forth. You'll have confidence before then. Every day of your life, you're not going to be worried about things. When we get into what it takes to see that love developed in us, trust me, good deeds don't develop it. They won't do it. It'll just make you feel good about yourself. And God will still be waiting on you. When you get to this point, it's literally going to be a step of faith saying, God, I really do not understand all of this. I mean, pastor said these things, talked about your love, and he's telling us that there's more out there. Quite honestly, Father, I don't understand. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to I just anticipate. God, I'm not sure. I just don't know. But He said that there's more out there. He said that love is the answer. So God, you know, I want power. I want glory. I want this. And I want to see these things happen in my life. But I'm going to do everything I can to get my eyes to be not so focused on those things, but to set my face toward the goal of your perfect and pure love. That's what I'm going to press toward now, God. That's where I'm headed. I know about salvation. I know about inheritance. I know about healing. I know about all of those things. But all those things have been provided for me out of your love. So therefore, if I head toward the love, I'll find the rest of it. It's waiting for me. the pureness of God, the fullness of God, is His love. He is love. He doesn't conjure it up. He doesn't feel it. It's what His existence is. And He has given us of that same nature.